Get her ticket, my ass.
You piece of goddamn bullshit.
Oh, well, if you haven't noticed already, I'm joined by...
The one and only.
Chris Mertens.
The one and only.
Max is indisposed.
He's, you know, sometimes love can whisk the greatest of men away from their dutiful positions.
It's true. I mean, 2 weeks ago, Max and I were recording.
Here, happy?
Yeah.
Existing?
We recorded and unfortunately had technical difficulties.
That's a shame.
So, couldn't release that. Last weekend, Comic-Con.
Comic-Con.
I wasn't here. And there's no way Max was going to do it.
No.
No way.
No.
This weekend...
Well, you know what? Online dating apparently works great.
Well, for some.
You gave it a shot.
I've given it one shot. I'm not sure if I'm going back.
I mean, it sounded like you were off to a good start, and then
great start.
See,
really?
Unfortunately, this happened to me as well a long time ago. I tried OkCupid.
Yep, that's what I'm using.
Gave it a go. Was like, there are a lot of pretty girls on here, and then you meet one. They seem great. You go on a few dates. You start to learn they have a dark past.
And I feel like the crazy came out.
The crazy came out.
Way quicker than normal. I don't know. It's certainly been a while since I've dated in general. But I just feel like I don't remember the crazy coming out so quickly.
Well, if you wanted to hold on to it, Brandon, you should have put a ring on it, is what they say.
That's what I've heard. That
is what they say. And I think when a girl goes crazy, or brings the crazy out, it shows her how devoted she is.
That's certainly one way to read the situation.
Sometimes girls, as you discovered, can reveal strange physical traits.
Which, to say up front, not immediately a deal breaker.
Not immediately. No, they slowly
build up. Just little red flags that pop up. You're like, oh, that's an interesting thing I've never seen before on any human being. I did date one girl who happened to be a strange clapper. She just clapped.
I've also heard of pumping fists in the air.
Yeah,
in excitement.
A fist pumper.
Sometimes a double fist pumper.
Well, if things get real exciting,
Well, anyway, let's get back on track. Max was whisked away, met someone online. Is the happiest he's ever been.
He's glowing.
She's glowing. She's very nice. And,
well, she's glowing because I feel like she's an alien life form.
Oh, so okay.
I feel like that's the reason. She's glowing, and it's rubbing off on him.
I see.
He might be infected.
Might not be coming back.
Yeah, I'm concerned.
This is one thing I was going to bring up, but essentially, you know, it's like it doesn't matter how good of friends a bunch of guys are. Put a woman, you know, a good, amazing woman into the equation that's, you know, attracted to one of the guys and vice versa, and everything just stops.
It's full tilt. Yeah, it's the Yoko Ono syndrome. I mean, if you can break up the Beatles, that's a powerful woman.
Yeah.
I mean, people say bros before hoes. Never the case.
So
it never will be the case. I know it won't be the case with me.
Let's go ahead and get our listeners ready because I don't think I'm just a guest host. I think I'm the new host.
I think
Max is moving out. I think he's moving out. So, anyway, let's get back on track. You mentioned Comic-Con.
I did.
You went to Comic-Con. I did not. Most people did not because they were working.
Because they were working, they weren't able to take any time off of work. I was lucky enough to request time off just one day, which, as you know, requesting even half a day off, impossible.
Yeah.
A full day, yep. A Friday off. I was very surprised that I was given the time off. They were like, yeah, sure, have a good time. So I left on Thursday night, drove to San Diego, got there, was there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was a lot of fun. I'd never been before. I had had tickets 2 years in a row, paid for, ready to go.
Couldn't go.
Couldn't attend.
Couldn't go. So you went.
Yeah.
And how was it?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, the panels I went to were entertaining and educational. The Spider-Man panel was awesome. They showed new footage, and Andrew Garfield was fantastic. It seems like he's a really big fan of Spider-Man in general, so he's excited to play the role.
Let's talk about that real quick. The teaser.
Yeah.
The teaser trailer. I think it looks great. The tone's great. But I wanted to mention, I think we spoke very briefly about this before, not a fan of the last shot.
I know. Well, they do a point of view shot.
That's 100% CGI,
yes.
of a point of view of Spider-Man crawling across rooftops, web slinging, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And the shot goes on for quite a long time. And my argument was that the teaser, I was looking forward to a reboot of Spider-Man because I don't like the original, like, Sam Raimi installments. They're a little corny for my taste, and they employ lots of very hokey kind of, like, effects that you know, admittedly, like, in their own right, self-contained to those films, look okay, I guess, but they're not as dark and they're not as, like, serious as I want them to be.
Well, it's hard to take those films seriously.
Yes.
And Spider-Man is inherently a sarcastic and funny superhero.
Sure.
Like he is. But there's no balance in Sam Raimi's films where you're able to have that and the serious stuff. It's all campy.
Yeah.
And I love Sam Raimi, but his Spider-Man films are just some of the worst. I really dislike them.
So when I saw the teaser, I was like, okay, so they're doing it right this time. This looks pretty... I mean, that's a bold statement. You can't tell that from the teaser, but the music that's playing, the shots, the way that they're composed...
The marketing is
very good. And then they cut to Sam Raimi's wet dream shot. It just, like, it kind of went against everything that was going on in the teaser. And it looked like they were trying to blow their load on this, like, very expensive-looking CGI shot. And I'm hoping it's not in the movie, but we'll see.
Yeah, everyone's been asking the director, Mark Webb, if that is marketing or...
Director's last name is Webb?
The director's last name is Webb.
Okay.
And he has not answered if it is in the movie or not. I think because of the reaction, if it is in the movie, they're going to pay more attention to it now. You know, that aside, it's still a year before it comes out. So we have a year for them to work on that CG anyway. But I personally don't mind the shot because I like that it puts me in the suit as Peter Parker, as Spider-Man. That's everything that I want in my whole life, is to just be Spider-Man.
So he showed up on stage. I saw a video of that. And he gave a pretty impassioned speech at Comic-Con.
He showed up. Like, the Spider-Man panel started, they played, like, this rumbling, bassy music, and all the lights went down, and just the logo was spinning on all the screens, and people were like, what the hell is happening? This is, like, something crazy is about to happen.
Yeah.
And then you hear a voice on, like, the mic where they're answering questions, like, where people ask questions to the panelists, and... You hear this voice, and the moderator is like, sir, we're gonna take questions after, sir. And he's like, no, I just want to say one thing. I just want to say. And he's like, sir, just sit down. We're gonna take questions later. And you're like, what the hell is happening? And he's like, no, I just want to say one thing. And a spotlight comes on, and there's a guy dressed in a shitty, like, Halloween costume Spider-Man uniform, and he takes off the mask, and it's Andrew Garfield.
It's great.
And he gives his speech among the fans on the show floor, like, with the mic, and it was amazing. And then he introed everyone, then they came out, and then he, like, did a parkour move, like jumped onto the stage and was like really out of breath. And it was like a Comic-Con moment.
Did one parkour like, move completely out of breath? Not a good sign.
Well, he's on wires a lot. You gotta.
He is being supported. So I heard also they were doing a Mass Effect movie, and they did a panel about that.
Yeah, it was happening at the same time as Spider-Man, and
I would have chose Mass Effect.
I know, and you would have chose so poorly. So poorly. Because the freaking... a friend of mine went, and I was communicating with him by text. And I was like, just tell me when Mass Effect comes on. Just, like, text me what they're saying. And
live,
he was like,
Live blog me.
Exactly. And he texted me once, and he said... Yeah, what's his name? Carrie Hudson or whatever.
Casey Hudson.
Yeah, he came out on stage, said the movie will probably be with the first game. And I was like, yeah, what else? Did they show any art or like anything? He's like, no, that was it. That was it.
Wow.
So I was like, well, I'm glad I chose Spider-Man.
That's severely disappointing.
Yeah, they basically just said nothing, showed nothing, which is a kind of... Everyone was saying that this was a good year for me for my first Comic-Con because it was a lot more tame. There weren't a lot like Marvel really didn't have a huge panel. Like the biggest panels were Fox, which I missed, and Sony. And all the other panels were just like little movies, but a lot of little movies, and it was just really a tame show. No crazy announcements. They didn't really announce anything we hadn't already known before.
Yeah.
So I had a blast. I really enjoyed going on the show floor and seeing all the crazy people that dress up. But it's like, I say crazy people, but I don't like judge them. It's awesome that they have a place to go and like
cosplay and all that good stuff.
It's like amazing, but it's amazing how niche people's interests are. I had to stay in this one hall so I could be at the Spider-Man panel all day. So all day there's movies that I don't really care about, like the Underworld panel. Couldn't care less.
Kate Beckinsale was there?
Yeah, Kate Beckinsale was there, and Len Wiseman, and I personally just couldn't care any less about this movie, about this panel, about what they're saying, but there are super fans for Underworld.
Wow.
They're dressed up, have the contact, like,
she's a death dealer!
Yeah. It's like insane. And then you see that at Comic-Con, how crazy niche people's interests are. And then if there's one, there's going to be 100 more at Comic-Con, and they can all rally together. And
it can't be near as bad as all the Princess Leia's walking around, because that is the most copied cosplay outfit I've ever seen.
I felt really gypped this year, you know, getting to the point of this podcast. I felt it was a problem. I only saw two Princess Leias.
Some bullshit.
My whole time.
That is some bullshit.
There, and both of them were unattractive.
That's doubly unfortunate.
Yeah, I was so upset. I had the same thought as you. I was like, gonna see Princess Leia all over this bitch. Two.
Nope.
Both unattractive.
Not even close.
And it's not like attractive ones weren't there, because people were taking pictures and posting them. Saw plenty of attractive women dressed up. I just wasn't fortunate enough to see them.
All right.
Apparently.
Moving on from Comic-Con, let me list some games that are coming out real quick, razor sharp, just quick, and I just want to get your first impressions.
Great.
There is an avalanche of games coming out soon in the coming months. If anyone's a hardcore gamer, they're going to disappear very much like Max did. That's going to be me in November.
Yep. Yep.
So we've got
applications for a new host.
Yes.
Already.
All right.
New host.
So Deus Ex Human Revolutions, August 23rd.
Excited. Don't know much about it beside I love the world and I think it looks fun. But possibly could be a letdown.
Okay. Rage, October 4th.
Know nothing about it.
It's made by the people who did Doom. It's a first-person shooter. Looks intense.
First-person shooter, I don't have a computer that can run them. I'll come over and watch you play it.
It's on 360 as well as PC.
All right.
Batman Arkham City.
Can't wait. Played it at Comic-Con.
October 18th.
Oh, it's the best. It's
the
so
best.
Good.
It's why?
Almost too... The fight system is amazing. The open world... Like, I know you've watched videos and stuff, but when you play it, you feel like you're... It's the most open world game that I... Like, what was it? Grand Theft Auto is, yeah, like, kind of the staple for open world games. And you're like, yeah, it's a big world. I always felt like there were people walking around, but they weren't, like, real people. Like, they just populate it with weird things. And Arkham City feels like a city that's alive, and people are walking around, and there's newspaper just blowing in the wind all over the place. It's raining, has a weather system. It's so amazing.
Can't wait. Battlefield 3. That's going to be October 25th.
Can't wait. It's going to melt my face.
It's going to melt your face. It's going to melt my face. Pretty excited about that. Uncharted 3, November 1st.
Haven't played the first two.
Embarrassed. Let's stop talking. Skyrim, November 11th.
Can't wait.
Hate Oblivion Skyrim.
Yeah, hate Oblivion, but can't wait for Skyrim. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, even to me, but there's...
Hated Oblivion, probably going to hate Skyrim.
But there's dragons in this.
There are dragons.
Dragons, and you hunt mammoth. Like, that that alone looks awesome.
Mass Effect 3, March 6th.
Obviously, the most excited.
The most excited.
Most excited.
Unfortunately, the longest and furthest away.
Yeah, well, that's actually a good thing, because... That I, hopefully by then I'll have like steady employment. I won't
You'll
be able to play.
I'm a little worried that these coming months are gonna approach, and I'm literally not gonna look for work because I just want to stay home.
You're gonna have to make a choice. You're gonna have to make a choice. Games or
dwindling bank account.
Yeah, you know, work. Food, really? Do you need food?
Yeah.
Because when you're playing games, you really just forget about everything. Maybe you'll forget that you need to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And before we're here, we're parked, and we both have sunglasses on. We look like perverts sitting in this empty parking lot.
Well, I was going to say we're on a stakeout, but
I went a different way. I'll go that way every time.
I shouldn't be looking through my binoculars right now, actually.
You should take your...
That's probably what you're going to
There's one last thing I want to touch on before we take a quick little break, and that's Cowboys and Aliens. Lots of trailers. Everyone's really excited. You saw it.
I did see it.
Don't have the best things to say. And keep it spoiler free.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Well, the problem with it is that the second trailer, and I know some of you don't watch trailers, and that's great. I watch trailers. I like trailers, so I watch them. And
it's a good philosophy. I like trailers, so I watch them.
That's actually, that's one of my shirt.
Yeah.
You haven't seen my t-shirt that I'm wearing
right
now.
That's what you're wearing.
Yeah, it? Yeah. So the second trailer for the movie spoils the entire film, unfortunately. I saw that trailer and I was like, well, I feel like I just got spoiled for the entire film, the twists and everything. And
kind of like In Time.
Yeah. Well, In Time is literally the entire movie.
Can't talk about it too much.
Yeah.
Just wanted to throw that out there.
Cowboys and Aliens, unfortunately, they give a lot away in their trailer, which made me less excited to see it. It has such a great promise. Its title is so good because it's just like Cowboys and Aliens. You're like, how can this not be great? It's a Western with aliens, sci-fi, and Harrison Ford's in it, Daniel Craig, Olivia Wilde. Like this is going to be a lot of fun. If not good, it's going to be a lot of fun. Unfortunately, it's just mediocre. Like, it's not the worst. I watched it. There are some good performances, especially by Harrison Ford. I think he's really great in it. Daniel Craig is great. Olivia Wilde, unfortunately, is non-existent. But it's...
Like, she's not in it?
She's... Like, barely in it, and when she is in it, she's just, like, a ghost. Like, it's just, like, she has no character. It just... And unfortunately, the biggest problem is it's just boring. And there are lots of things happening, but they're all boring. And there's nothing that, like, twists it on its head. Like, you're watching, you're like, oh, I see where this is going. There's no point in it where you're like, oh, wow,
wow, I thought it was going one. It's like, I saw where this...
All the way to the end.
Yeah, all the way to the end.
And the creature alien design, just in general, was good, bad, medium?
Not bad, actually. I actually liked this the creature design a lot.
Okay.
And the CG was pretty good. It's just like, everything was pretty good, but it was boring.
But boring.
And that has a lot to do with it had, like, eight writers.
And that's literally the opposite reaction that I have when I'm watching the trailer. Not boring. Trailer go, not boring.
Yeah. That's what I expected. I expected it to maybe be bad, but never be bored. And you're like, that was fun, but it's, like, not a good movie. Unfortunately, it's like, that's a kind of a okay movie, but it's just boring. And unfortunately, I went to the premiere at Comic-Con, and they had fans in the audience. So the fans are just, like, so happy to be there in the same room as Harrison Ford and Daniel Craig that everything that happens, they're applauding. Just everything. And we're...
If you thought the movie was boring in those circumstances,
exactly.
Then that means it's extra boring.
I would have turned to dust in a normal theater. Just you'd have to scrape me up in a dustpan after the movie.
Because that's what it was like when we saw the advanced screening of Super 8. The fans and all the people there were so amped up that when I left the theater, I had a reeling sense that the movie was extremely exciting and I had a fucking blast.
Yeah.
Saw it a second time. Liked it better the first time, and so things always go down when you're in that kind of crowd of people that are, like, super excited.
Yeah, I personally just don't like those fan screenings at all, because there's no chance for me to get into the movie.
No.
It's just always, like, you're always in a movie, because everyone's always applauding, everyone's always cheering, and
reminds me of when I saw Snakes on a Plane in the theater. That was an event.
Yeah.
And people go...
Yeah.
To make fun of it, and I mean, well, not, you know, that's different, but
the Oscar crowd participation.
Crowd participation is a big deal.
Yeah, I'd leave it at home.
Okay.
That's what I was
saying. Well,
that was delicious.
That was delicious.
It was really good. I was thinking when we were talking about, Chris and I are seeing Attack the Block this afternoon.
Yeah, we are.
And it's...
Probably it's, alone.
We'll see. It's a British sci-fi movie, and it's, like, very British.
Produced by Edgar Wright.
And, yeah, and what it made me think of is every time I watch, like, Snatch or Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels or this movie, I'm sure, I want to use that slang.
Yeah.
Can't. You can't use it unless you have the accent.
There's, like, a scene, I don't know if you remember, I mean, this is horrible slang and not the cool slang that you're talking about, but there's a scene in the third Austin Powers movie where Austin Powers is with his dad, played by, who plays his dad?
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine, yeah, and then they're talking, but they don't want to be heard, so they talk in British, and it's like, there's subtitles for everything they're saying, and they're literally saying, like, this, I mean, they're saying...
Nonsense.
They're saying nonsense, and it has subtitles, and then towards the end it has, like, question marks, because it doesn't even know what they're saying.
Yeah.
That was really funny. I agree with you. That slang is very cool. We're going to get a lot of it in Attack of the Block, and I wish I could... I can do a good accent, not the slang, thus not authentic at all. Like, I can't keep up, because it's just, you gotta know that your whole life to be able to talk at that speed.
So you can do an accent, not the slang, so you just American speak, like, speech, but British accent.
Well, it's not too crazy. I mean,
That's interesting.
You hear British people talking. Yeah. We went and saw Christopher Nolan, and, like, he's just a classy gentleman. He doesn't use that slang. It's kind of like...
Well, not in public.
Not in public. it's just, I don't know. You speak with a British accent, and as long as the accent's convincing, I think you can get by to some extent. But it also depends on where you're from in Europe and, like, where you come from. And, like, because they all have different... That's the other thing, is, like... Everyone's got the,
like,
different places. It's like
England,
what part of England, and they've got different. And those people wouldn't say this, and those people wouldn't say this.
That's interesting. I wonder. I'd be interested to talk to, like, a dialect coach, who coaches, like, actors, and whether they just work on the accent, or they also try and pepper in, like, key phrases so it feels more legit. Like, I don't think I've ever paid attention to that when an American is doing... I guess there's no, like, key phrases...
What role would that be? Because, I mean...
I don't know.
Brad,
I feel like it
Brad
just
Pitt,
be
like, speaks nothing, like, gibberish, so what, like...
What, in Snatch?
Yeah, like, yeah. What American... Who had a role in a movie? I feel like, what's the guy in Ocean's 11? The black guy?
Don Cheadle,
like... I think he did a terrible job, like, trying to work slang into his accent, yeah. And it sounded fake, and his accent yeah. sounded fake, and I didn't believe it for a second. So it's like, who's an American actor who has a British accent in a film who does the slang and does it perfectly?
Yeah, I don't know.
What about
the opposite? Like, someone like Rose Byrne, who has a flawless, like, American accent.
Yeah.
There's no real American phrases that they... Like, what are the what do we say that
We're pretty boring.
Boring.
We're pretty boring.
Like, we talked about this early, just boring.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we have accents. Obviously, we do to, like, the rest of the world, but just unfortunate.
Yeah.
I want an accent.
I think we were talking about, like, as Americans, it feels like we're the base model that everything branches out of. And not historically accurate, of course, but I feel like we're devoid of accents. Like, we do not have an accent. I mean, there's different dialects throughout the country of, like, New York, mm-hmm. Boston. Like, there are definitely accents. You and I particularly, I don't think we have an accent. We speak very plainly American English. We don't have any type of cadence to the way we speak that... Yeah, it's like a cultural thing.
Like, and we don't even have, like, an idiosyncratic, like, cadence like a Christopher Walken or something. We have nothing.
Nothing.
Like, he was so upset about not having an accent, he made one up for himself.
Yeah. Made one up for himself. Constantly never correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Putting the emphasis funny. On all the wrong parts
There's
of
There's no way he was talking like that as a kid.
Maybe.
There's got to be video of
Maybe
him
he suffered
somewhere
serious head trauma as a child.
Maybe it was head trauma, but there's just... But outside of head trauma, there's no way he started speaking and the parents were like, yeah, I think he's got it. I don't know. I think we've done all we can here. Like, don't speak like that.
I really do wish I could just put myself in the mind of, like, a British tourist in America listening to us talk and then hearing what they hear. Because I can't hear it.
Yeah.
I'll never be able to hear it. But do they listen to us talk? And, like, you remember how South Park made fun of it where they're, like, Asian people hear us talking and they're, I'll put it on my credit card.
Yeah.
Like, oh, round eye, like, MasterCard. Like, they think we're all, I don't know how to describe it. We're just talking in, like, this announcer voice all the time.
And, like, do British... people, do they find our accent appealing? Like, the way we speak appealing?
Probably not.
Because there's, like, I'd say the majority, sure, there's some, like, English accents that are not appealing. But the majority is appealing to
movies,
me.
If movies are to be taken literally, Love Actually,
mm-hmm.
No, that's backwards. The British guy goes to that bar... with the three girls that are all over him, but they're all American. I got it backwards.
Yeah,
Eliza Dushku.
Yeah,
and
backward.
Is it Eliza? No, it's the girl from 24. She's the main girl. The daughter, Jack Bauer's daughter.
Oh, Alicia.
Alicia Cuthbert. Yeah, she's one of the American girls. Never mind. Pointless.
Yeah. See?
Had it backwards.
Backward.
Yeah. I don't know. Does an American guy walk into a British bar and all the girls are swooning because he sounds so American? I don't think so. No. I think it's just boring is what it is.
Boring. And they're just bored.
Devoid of any type of... Because when you hear someone with an accent, you're like, they're...
Worldly?
They're worldly.
Yeah.
They are... they're cultured.
Mm-hmm.
They have experience.
Yeah.
I just got back from Walmart and Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Where are you from? I'm from Florida. Florida.
Lived near the Lowe's.
Yeah. Like... Oh, Florida, like Disneyland, right?
Yeah.
Like fat people. Lots of fat people around.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the land of fat people. That's where I'm, that's where my accent
The land of freedom, fireworks, and overeating. I want to tell you about a movie that I just found out about just because I saw a Red Band trailer for it. I posted it on Google Plus, which, by the way, I'm not seeing as many people using it. Exploded, well, and then now Google Plus is slowly wheezing out.
It's a wasteland. It's a wasteland. Here's my problem with Google Plus. It's shooting for the middle, and it's trying to be everything, and it's not good at any one thing. Twitter is really good for broadcasting short little things publicly because you know it's public.
Yeah.
Facebook, good for stalking, communicating with family, communicating with friends you haven't seen in a while.
Playing Farmville.
Yeah, just like all that mass social networking is Facebook, like very specific social public networking, Twitter. Google Plus is trying to be both, and the circle thing, like you have to set your thing as public if you want it to be, and then, but everyone else is sharing with you, and I don't really care about it. People are following me. Like, I get emails constantly all day about people, like, following, like, adding me to their circles.
Yeah.
I don't know any of these people.
And in the email, it says, don't know this person? Not a problem. You don't need to add them to your circle. But, and I'm like, that's kind of nice, I guess.
It's like Twitter, but it's also more like Facebook, because you're, like...
Here's the issue. The issue is, every single... And you've probably seen this, because I've done it, and mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know what the protocol is here. I see something, I make something cool, whatever. There's something I want to post. I would usually do it on Twitter. My Twitter's linked to my Facebook. I tweet it, and then it automatically shows up on both. Done deal.
There we go.
Done. Now, I find something cool, and I'm like, do I post this on Google Plus, Twitter, or Facebook, or all three, or mm-hmm. only one of them?
Yeah.
And then I end up doing all three because I want to have my bases covered. And then I'm like, what am I doing? Like, yeah. Why am I? It's like, I'm not the type of person who tweet. Like Brandon will tell you, I don't mm-hmm. tweet what I had for breakfast. I don't like. I only tweet every now and then about very like important things that I find very cool. But I hate having to do it three times. Like,
well, that it's totally so it's counterintuitive. Kinda,
it's counterintuitive.
To the way
yeah.
It should work.
Yeah.
And Google Plus has no way to tie your stuff in yet because they want to be their own thing.
Yeah.
It's like you have to embrace what's already there. If I could post on Google Plus and it would tweet out like my Google Plus thing, or if I post on Twitter and I could link it, I'd be using it way more often. But I can't, so I don't.
Yeah. I saw a graph, I'm sure you probably saw the graph too, but it was like a graph showing Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, like getting to 150 million followers mm-hmm. and Facebook and Twitter had similar lines and it took like, I don't know, like 200 and something days and they got there very slowly, right. But it like eventually got there. And then Google Plus was a vertical line and it went from like zero to 150 million people by like inside of like 8 days. It was just like, boom, done.
Yeah.
And but now the decline is going to be the same. It's going to be like 150 and then this network that no one's on anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. So tell me about this okay. awesome thing that no one saw that you posted because no one's okay. using it.
Because no one's using it. I posted it in a wasteland. Should have known better. It's a movie called Dale and Tucker Versus Evil.
Yeah, I've seen it.
You saw the movie?
Yeah. I saw it at Sundance 2 years ago.
Well, that ruins that. I was going to tell you all about it. And I was going to tell you all about it because of the trailer that I saw.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see it.
Yeah. It's tons of fun.
Well, just for anyone listening yeah. who doesn't know what it is, I just saw a Red Band trailer of it. The guy from Firefly, the pilot.
Alan Tudyk,
who's very good. Unfortunately, he was in Transformers 3. And
not
like,
good.
Not good. But him and another guy are rednecks. They live out in the middle of the woods.
Tyler Labine.
Who's that?
The
other guy?
Redneck, yeah.
So the two of them are rednecks, live in the middle of the woods, and then these like carefree kind of like college kids go on spring break or something, and they go out and they want to camp and skinny dip and drink beer and smoke pot and just like be wild and crazy in the woods. When they're going skinny dipping, one of the girls, like, there's an event that gets misinterpreted by both parties where she falls into the water. The way that the trailer plays is like it's a horror film
mm-hmm.
and it's like the rednecks pass them in a truck and it's like, did you see the way those guys were looking at me? And then there's another scene where it's like they're walking by and one of them's got an axe on his shoulder. And then when she falls in the water, the rednecks like the trailer's flashing and the people are screaming and like the rednecks pull her into the boat and like drive off.
Yeah.
And so the whole trailer's play that way, and then you think she's kidnapped, and then they bring her in food, and then the whole trailer does a twist halfway through. You realize the rednecks are, the whole thing's been misinterpreted by both parties. The rednecks are super friendly, super nice. They saw her fall in the water, and they were trying to rescue her. Mm-hmm. They want nothing more than to get her back to her friends. The friends, their interpretation of the event is that the rednecks are like deliverance, and like want to fucking eat them or kill them, and they're going to murder and rape the girl. So they're doing everything in their power to get the girl back. And then hilarity ensues, and then one by one, like, due to just nature, like,
it's basically, yeah, it's
the people get killed off.
Yeah, it's basically the anti-horror film. It's very much in the spirit of, like, Shaun of the Dead or, the what's the cop movie they made?
Cabin, oh, wait, what?
That Sean Penn, or not Sean Penn. Damn it.
Sean, wait, who?
The other, Shaun of the Dead. And then...
Hot Fuzz?
Hot Fuzz.
Oh, okay.
There we go. Hot Fuzz. It's very much in the spirit of that, where it's like a genre, but it's a satire on the genre, but also an entry into the horror genre. It's really good and really funny. And it's like... I actually forgot about the movie until they released the trailer, and I was like, I saw that years ago.
Years ago? And holy shit. I thought it was brand new.
No, it like... It was,
so bottom line, is it good?
It's really good. Really good. Yeah, it's really, really good. And Alan Tudyk is just so funny in it.
Yeah.
It's just... Because he plays, like, the character where he's best at. Kind of like...
Yes. Nervous. Like, nervous and rambling.
Like,
and
nervous, rambling, but redneck.
But a redneck.
Which is so funny.
And there's a scene in the trailer where the cop comes... Like, everything's gone wrong and all these people are dead. And the cop's like, you got that girl in there? And then he's like... Yeah, she's like locked in my bedroom, and then Alan Tudyk is like, and he grabs his shoulder, and he's like, no, and he's like smiling and like trying to. It's like a huge misunderstanding.
Yeah,
I just realized what I just did does not play over audio. I just like did a physical action.
Well,
and,
could describe it in detail.
No,
but that also would
that's
be
a waste of time.
Yeah,
that's a waste
unfunny.
Of time. Well, you already saw it, and that's that.
Yeah,
I need to see it.
Yeah,
I'm pretty excited.
The last thing I wanted to bring up was
I've got a last thing too.
Two last.
We're
things.
Going over.
We're going two last things. They've opened up a lot of new restaurants near me. And a lot of them deliver. I lived in Santa Monica the first like year and a half I was in California.
That's where I work.
And everything delivers. So I was never at a want for food late at night. It delivered. It was the best. Moved to the Valley. Everything closes at like 9. Nothing delivers.
You get off work right at 9.
Right, obviously right at 9, because that's when normal people get off of work. 9 o'clock after they went in at 8. Doesn't make any sense. So they've opened up a lot of places that are staying open later. And the thing that I'm noticing now is something I kind of forgot is the minimum payment for delivery.
$15.
Hate it.
$15.
Because you can't eat as a single person, one person, $15, way too much.
Get a meal and a small side of something like fries.
Still too little.
And a drink.
You would don't need a drink. Have drinks.
Order it anyway.
Stupid. I'm not going to drink it because they only have soda. I don't drink it.
And they'll wrap it in saran wrap and tape so it doesn't leak.
So I can't
and
even
the,
open it anyway.
And the cup's soggy and wet.
It's been shaken by the guy. Yeah. He doesn't care. And so I end up having to order way more food, usually two meals, which makes me want to pretend that I'm eating with someone else.
You do a fake, like, where you have the door kind of shut where he can only see you, and then you look back and you're like, yeah, food's here, and you're talking to no one.
To no one. You have to, I have stairs, so it's easy. I just call up the stairs. Hey, food, the food guy's here. And
then when he leaves and you shut the door, you cry yourself to sleep.
I cry as I'm eating my burrito. And then
two burritos.
Yeah, and then I cry because I have to eat another one because I order two because I can't meet the minimum.
You
payment.
Feel guilty, so you eat both of them.
Damn
can't
it.
Stop putting on the weight.
It just is the worst. So it just makes no sense for me to even order delivery. Such a convenience. All these new places, they all have a minimum that I can't take advantage of. Too much food. That's what I'm dealing with.
I did the fake. I used to do the fake call in to the no one there. Mm-hmm. At my old apartment, I used to live in the ghetto in North Hollywood, as we know, is very spotty. There's some areas that are very nice, some areas that you could
It turns quick.
It's like shopping mall, strip Ooh, mall,
look at this
good
nice
food joints,
diner.
Liquor
yeah.
store,
oh, Jesus.
Coffin
oh,
maker.
God. Please no.
yeah. So it's just like so it turns very quickly. I used to live in a really bad area, razor wire on the fence, like prostitutes across the street, but the rent was the cheapest, so I had to. That's the first place
it's
I had to
subsidized
move.
By the prostitutes.
Exactly. So anyway, I would leave, and walking past the razor chain link fence, of course, in this bad area, but I would leave my apartment, and I would see people seeing me leave, and I'm going to work. I'm going to be gone all day, and no one else is in the apartment, and I would leave. And I would see all their eyes looking at me, and some of them look very shady. And I would call back in. It's like, see you later tonight. And I would shut the door.
The security. That's the poor man's security system.
No one was home.
I like it. You got to leave like a little radio on. You got to set up a train track with a cardboard cutout that passes by the window. Pretty sure this is Home Alone I'm describing.
And sometimes I get creative with it. It's like, are you going to be here all day? Because the TV guy said he was going to show up. You know how that works. Yeah. Laugh and shut the door.
He's going to show up 12 to 8. Who knows?
Anytime.
They never come on time.
Anytime. Make sure you don't leave the house.
Yeah. Anyone could be here at any time. No, everyone is here. I'm actually throwing a party in the middle of the
day. I have a gun. And you just start shooting it. It's like the plan. You just like, you bail the plan. And you just like resort to violence.
That's good.
All right, so this is the last thing, but it's unfortunately of great magnitude. I don't want to breeze over this.
Okay.
And I know we're short on time, but I think we've got to make an exception here.
Sure.
Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. Yeah.
Battlestar
this
Galactica.
Is actually a good place to bring it up, just in case people haven't seen it. We're not going to go too deep in spoilers, like, really at all, but if you haven't seen it, you don't want to hear us talk about it, you can tune out. But yeah, Chris and I are
venturing back in.
Yeah, we were unemployed at the exact same time, like 4 weeks ago or something, and Chris pulled the trigger on the Blu-ray set, finally.
Had to do it.
And
thanks to Mary for letting me know that
yes,
was on sale.
Amazon
Gold Box.
The best. And we decided to just watch it. I'm a huge fan of the show.
Not just watch it, marathon it.
Marathon it.
Like 8 episodes back to back.
Like for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks straight.
Yeah.
And like showing up, like starting at fucking 8 in the morning, Brandon shows up, gym shorts, shitty t-shirt. It's got a little flecks of paint on it. I don't give a shit. I'm wearing jeans. Like,
I've also never painted in my life.
Never
so
painted.
Where did it come
you
from?
You got paint on your shirt.
Yeah, I don't know.
And we're just show up. We're both tired. But it was like a job. It was like you got there at 8.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes not really into it. Had to do it.
Yep.
Pulled the trigger. Hit play. Start watching it. It's like committing to a marathon.
Yep.
We picked up a bystander, Jordan, a roommate.
Yes.
A
drifter on the road.
A drifter on the road. Brandon and I made a pact. We locked arms like in Predator. We were like, we're doing this.
Well, we often hold hands throughout.
We often hold hands.
So, yeah.
And then Jordan crawled over the precipice of the couch. And
much
was,
like Gollum does in Lord of the Rings.
Exactly, and said, what are you watching? And then could not stop watching, and then came along for the ride.
Yep.
And we have how many episodes left?
I think we only have 4 hours left.
4 hours.
So it's like 2 episodes and then the finale, I think, is what we have.
So here's the background real quick. I watched Battlestar half like... After it came out, much later when it was on DVD, caught up on it all together, loved it, hated the fourth season. Brandon?
I watched it, caught up on the first 3 seasons on DVD, and then watched the fourth season like as it aired, and really...
I just realized I lied. I did the same thing.
Yeah.
I was watching the four, I think, 3.5 to 4 on TV.
Yeah.
The first bit was DVD.
And I really enjoyed the fourth season. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the whole show.
There are some people that say the end discounts the entire journey of the show.
I would be one of those people.
And I take offense to that, and I don't agree with it. And it's one of my favorite shows I've ever seen. So we're rewatching it. We unfortunately both got jobs. It's very inconvenient to our Battlestar watching.
There's four people in the four types of people in the world. People who haven't seen Battlestar.
Yeah.
People who have seen Battlestar and fucking love it.
Best friend.
People who have seen Battlestar, hate the ending, disown the show.
Terrible.
People who have seen Battlestar, hate the fourth season, love the show with a passion.
There we go.
That's me. I'm the fourth one.
Yeah.
I think you're the second one. It's like, I loved it so much that despite how terrible and god-awful the finale and the fourth season were, I am still a mega fan.
Mm-hmm. So Chris and I are rewatching. Yep. We got to season four, and we knew it was coming. Like, I knew that it was coming for Chris because he hated it altogether. I was very concerned about rewatching it to see how I experienced it differently, and I unfortunately was just. It's been a journey because. Season four, I just have not enjoyed season four as much as I remember, and that has been a huge shame to me. They released season four in two parts, so 4.5 is the last, like, half of the last season.
Yeah.
And that has been pretty much what I remember and has been a bright spot for me. At least I wasn't completely off base with that.
I think they have the two. My recollection of season four was like basically I liked the first episode and the rest of it was shit and the finale was the worst thing I've ever seen. Now rewatching it, what I'm getting is that there were actually gems among the rough. Mostly in 4.5, there's a two-parter. I think it's Blood on the Scales. I'm not sure.
I think it's The Oath and then Blood on the Scales.
The Oath and Blood on the Scales. Basically, there's like a military coup episode that's happening. And it's seriously two of the best episodes of Battlestar I've ever seen. It's amazing. And then there's another episode with Daniel. And by the way, the show's been out for a while. We're going to go into spoiler territory. I don't think we need to guard ourselves. If you don't want to know and you haven't seen the show, stop listening now. We're gonna hit some spoilers here. But this episode, rather infuriating for Brandon.
I remember being horribly heartbroken.
Let me just explain very quickly. In the episode, previous to this episode, the Cylons, there are multiple models of Cylons. There is a Cylon model that is missing, curiously, throughout the show, and it's a number 7. Yep. The numbers go in sequential order, and they skipped over 7.
Yep.
And
scene that was 1, scene 2, scene 3, scene 4, scene 5, scene 6. Never seen a 7.
Never seen
and
a 7.
And then we have an 8.
Blaze on to 8. Yeah. And so, you know, you're watching the show, you're a big fan of the show, you're like, oh my God, what are they going to do? 7? Like, what's going on with, like, who's the 7th one? There's got to be a 7th one. They address it very quickly, and they say there was a 7th Cylon. He was very creative and artistic. Cavill hated him, so he had his entire line killed. There were other reasons behind that, but we're not going to go into it. Mm-hmm. These are the characters talking in the show. And whatever. And his name was
Daniel.
Daniel. Fast forward to an episode in 4.5 where Starbuck basically envisions this stranger playing a piano in Joe's bar. She gets very connected to him, not exactly in a romantic way, but fascinated with the music he's playing and fascinated with his interest and his outlook on life. They spend a lot of time together throughout, I think it seems like a week of being on the Battlestar.
Yeah.
And it's ultimately revealed at the end of the episode she wasn't speaking to anyone and that the person that she was hanging out with was only in her mind and that person was, in fact, her father.
Mm-hmm.
And her father's name is...
Daniel.
So...
We have smart listeners.
We have smart listeners, and
they've obviously put the threads together. They've connected the dots.
But Ronald D. Moore would say, put what together? Because there's absolutely no connection.
No connection. He came right out and said, no connection
between Daniel, the seventh Cylon, and Daniel, Starbuck's father, who is very artistic, both very artistic, would have explained what Kara is, her role in the show.
Would have explained a lot.
And he said there's no connection. And not only that, he was appalled that the fans would draw a connection.
Just the fans took it over and it became had a life of its own. And you're like, the reason it had a life of its own is because the connection was very clear. That being said, that episode was phenomenally cut, and the music in the episode is great, and everything that's happening in that episode is fantastic. My favorite episode to date still is the boxing episode.
Yeah. And that episode really holds up, too. It's fantastic.
It's the episode where it's like, as you've been watching the show, you know that certain characters have issues with other characters. There are tiffs and, I hate the word, beefs. But there are, like, problems going on in between multiple parties on the Galactica. And it all becomes comes to a boiling point. And it's literally, like, right at the moment when I was like, oh my god, there's so many things going on in this ship and so many, like, politics. How is this all... This is gonna come crashing down. And then, boom, boxing episode. They open a free to enter. All you do is put your dog tags in a box, duke it out with whoever you want in a fair like ring, mm-hmm. where you can, you know, do whatever, you know, fight,
beat your problems away.
Yeah,
fantastic.
It's a great episode.
It's just great for the characters. It's great for the show, and it's stuff like that where it's so far and above other shows that I've seen, like the character work, and it's just so good. And even though my experience with season 4 this time has been less. Like, it's just been lesser. But the 4.5 is still very good. And I'm still... I feel like I'm a little... I'm in between now, the second and the fourth person that you mentioned. In between both of us now. Where I see its problems. I know what's going wrong. But I love the show so much that it just doesn't matter. And still the character stuff always hits for me. Like, it doesn't... Like, the plot-wise, it's gone off the rails, but the character stuff is very consistent for me still.
And also the laziness of, like... Well, it's not laziness, it's probably just an actor issue, but just unfortunate that there are literally characters that were in the show that just have gone away.
Just kind
of
disappeared.
Disappeared. Yeah. There are certain models of Cylons that are, like, no longer in the show. There's a guy who looks like exactly like Kevin Spacey. He's great. No longer in the show.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to ask you, though, about this whole marathon thing, mm-hmm. is that... You originally loved the show. You obviously love it now when you're rewatching it. But what have you gotten out of Battlestar the second time through that has kind of hit you in a place that you didn't get hit before, where it was like, maybe even in a negative way, just kind of like, what are you taking away from seeing it a second time?
I'm taking away of how just fundamentally the show changes. Like, that's for me, I think watching it as it aired, I had more time to sit with the show, and it felt a little more natural that the show would have to change after a certain point. But the show is so consistent for the first two seasons. They're on the run. It's just them on the run.
That's in the Bible.
Yeah, that's in the series Bible that Ronald D. Moore wrote. And then season 3, they're no longer on the run, but there's still a huge amount of tension. They just switch the tension, and certain characters
on the run,
are...
They're captured... And trying to be on the run. They're trying to get away and get back onto the run.
They're just trying to escape. And that's just
another
form.
Like being, that's kind of like being on the run.
Just another form. So, and then season 4, nothing. It's just, there's really...
Here's what's interesting about season 4. There are fundamentally some amazing things going on that could have been awesome. I.e., an entire full-on Cylon Civil War.
Yeah.
Like... For the first three seasons, the Cylons are... Well, for the first two seasons, the Cylons are this, like, unheard, unseen enemy force that is terrifying. It's coming for you.
Indestructible.
Indestructible, like, yeah. Unstoppable. Every 33 minutes, that kind of thing. It's just, like, the unrelenting. Season 3, it starts to get into a gray area, and religion gets involved, and then you start seeing more of the Cylons and, like, what makes them work and tick on the inside. And it's interesting, but it has a few issues. And then in Season 4, full-blown religion, full-blown Cylon, like, scenes, and lots of religion, and then they all turn on themselves, and then there's a silence of war. And that's fascinating.
They turn on
themselves. But it's not done well. Like, the silence of war is like an episode, one episode.
Well,
it's
they
like
turn on themselves, but they turn on themselves and then run away in opposite directions. Which, if, like, a Cylon Baystar joins the fleet, that should have been amazing, because now Cylons are chasing the fleet and other Cylons. And that, like, it should have turned back into a chase show.
Yeah.
And instead, the other Cylons just disappear and hang out.
Yeah.
And then everyone's just hanging out.
Unfortunate, because if you look at season 4 and summarize it and you just make bullet points of everything that happens, 60% of the bullet points are fascinating, but the season was handled horribly.
Yeah, the other 40% are Baltar speaking.
Baltar mumbling
into
his harem, and
just God,
fucking zoning out.
It's been really awesome to rewatch it. I love the show. I'm really excited to see the finale, to see how that plays for me. The other thing that has played, I think, more powerfully for me this time has been Starbuck's journey. I feel like I picked up on things they threaded in for Starbuck earlier on, and unfortunately that one massive thing doesn't matter. I don't think Ronald Moore, even though he's the creator and said it doesn't matter, I don't think he is in a position to tell people that. Like, even though he might not think it matters, he never intended it to, I think it does, and I think that there's nothing that counteracts it for the rest of the show either. So I think it still could. And if I choose to view the show, like, it's just like any kind of art. If an artist says, that's not what I intended, that's not really what art is for. It's for me to read into it.
Release it. Let it be intended.
Yeah.
Let it be received by people, so, however it is. Let it live that way.
Yeah. And if it lives that way, then I feel like her journey is infinitely better. The show is infinitely better. And I feel like I'm just going to choose to view it that way.
We haven't gotten to the finale yet. I wish we could have talked about that.
Yeah.
Because that would have been the best part of the discussion. But one of the things I wanted to touch on that makes the last few episodes that we've watched so weak is, like, how muddled the Cylon politics and the Cylon relationships get, and how it feels like the show extremely just goes off the tracks in terms of being focused.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the show doesn't know where to put its focus, and in doing so, you just lose interest in what you're watching. And for example, a scene that should have been extremely powerful last night, spoiler alert again, Adama finally decides to abandon the Galactica.
Yeah.
Which is an unthinkable, like, season 1, 2, 3, if you even said Adama's thinking about abandoning the Galactica, that sense doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, because that literally goes against every fiber of his character.
Not like it's the title of the show.
Title of the show.
Yeah, it's not.
And his XO, Ty, like, he gives some resistance to it in the scene. He's like, no, I'm not going to do that. You can't do that. And then he's like, it's time. And then he's like, all right. And then they have a drink. And it's like, that scene just doesn't have any power behind it. It
should have been a fight.
It should have been a fight. It should have been tears. It should have been maybe a physical fight. It should have been something more than that. And so,
and honestly, it really shouldn't happen whatsoever.
No.
If anything, they should have been forced off.
Forced off,
like,
yeah.
I agree.
There are moments, season 1, 2, 3, where when things happen, you go, oh my God, oh my, this can't be happening. And there are things that are happening all throughout season 4 like that, and I just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I just, my investment in almost everyone is just gone.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we're almost finished with that, with the season 4, and then we're going to be done, and that'll be a second time for both of us.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty excited to finish it.
Me too. Yep.
And if you haven't seen Battlestar,
watch it.
Watch it.
Watch it.
Hopefully you hadn't listened.
We ruined it.
Because we ruined.
Don't watch it.
We ruined
anymore.
A bit. I mean, we didn't ruin that much.
No.
But
no.
We. So no, it's a good show.
Yeah. Chris, thanks for being here.
No one else was here. I had to step up.
Yeah, it would have been awkward for me to
do it by
yourself. A conversation with myself. Not that I don't do that when I order delivery.
What you could have done, record yourself, pull a moon, record your responses, edit it together.
Man,
Brandon, that's... having a podcast with Brandon.
Now, that really would... I think I might...
That was a joke?
That was a joke. I think I'm going to do it. I don't... Chris, I actually don't... this was a good one-time thing.
Okay, well, I got to go. So we're about to go, and we're going to see Attack of the Block.
I'm excited. I hope it's... I'm almost too excited. My expectations are through the roof.
I'm pretty good with British accents in terms of hearing them.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried I won't be able to understand anything anyone's saying in this movie.
Because Max and I, we talked about this movie specifically about the subtitles. I thought it was a stupid idea. I hope when I come out of the movie, I don't disagree with my past self.
Yeah.
Because that could be possible. But at Probcast on Twitter, and it's at Chris Mertens. On Twitter.
No H in Chris.
No H in Chris. Add an H if you want. You won't find him, though.
Won't make it.
Won't make it. All right. That's it.
See ya.